I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
KCBS, in partnership with UCSF Health, presents As Prescribed, a weekly conversation with leading medical experts from UCSF Medical Center and UCSF Benioff Children's Hospitals.
Hello and welcome to As Prescribed. I'm Kathy Novak. The rights of young transgender people have been in the spotlight recently, with moves in a number of states, including Alabama and Texas, to restrict access to gender-affirming medical care. Well, we're talking about that kind of care today with Dr. Steven Rosenthal, professor of pediatrics and medical director of UCSF's Child and Adolescent Gender Center. Dr. Rosenthal, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Doctor, your center focuses on this specific area of medical and psychological care for kids aged between 3 and 18. Tell us, why is it so important to you and your colleagues to offer this care to kids that age?
Well, thanks, Kathy. That really is a great question. We certainly have learned through experience that when we take histories from transgender adults, they very often, not always, but very often, tell us that they were aware of their gender identity from a very early age, and certainly before they became an age of legal majority. Many of them, even before puberty begins, and certainly of these people that have this, can recall having had these feelings earlier in life, certainly the majority of those people could remember that they felt this way during pubertal development. And so knowing that you don't just simply emerge or suddenly rather emerge as a transgender person as an adult, but that it often has roots earlier in life, we want to be able to provide supportive care to younger people when their gender identity and any distress that might be associated with that first emerges.
And we are talking about a range of care here, right? And for younger kids, we're generally not talking about surgical treatment.
That's absolutely correct. In fact, when we think about the kinds of care that are offered, if we talk about medical care, for example, there basically are two general categories, one being medical and one being surgical, within the broader umbrella of medical care. And then that medical component can be further subdivided into groups, which include first puberty blockers, and I'll explain that in just a second, and then what we call gender-affirming sex hormones. That's either testosterone or estrogen. And then the surgical subgroup can be divided into procedures which would not impact reproductive potential. So, for example, surgeries that might involve a breast reduction in someone with a female sex who is developed, has full pubertal breast development, but who identifies as male and is feeling significant distress, body dysphoria, it's sometimes called, about the development of breasts. And so there are those sorts of procedures. And then there are surgical procedures that would impact the gonads, meaning specifically the ovaries or the testes. Any procedures that would involve the genitalia or the gonads are not recommended before somebody reaches the age of legal majority.
So a lot of the focus too, when we're talking about care for transgender youth, is around mental health care as well, right? So what are the likely ramifications, particularly when it comes to the psychological aspect of hearing this sort of news about political moves to try to prevent transgender kids from getting care?
Well, that's also a great question, but I would want to give just a little bit of background. And that is to say that it has been well described in many, many studies that if you look at what could be described as baseline characteristics of mental health on presentation to a gender clinic such as ours, that there already is a significantly greater prevalence of what is sometimes referred to as internalizing disorders, such as significant depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation, et cetera, compared to the non-transgender population. So that's just where things are starting. And it is really because of that, of those mental health concerns that people present to us with, that this care is so important. And so I would just say that mental health assessments are an extremely important part of our interdisciplinary gender-affirming approach. But you specifically said, well, what is likely to be the impact on someone who is has a diverse gender identity, whether we would call it being transgender, gender non-binary, however you want to describe it. You could just imagine how anyone might feel if there is some body, particularly a political body, that might be passing judgment on a group of people without really understanding the group of people that they're talking about. And so if you feel that, or if you have already in particular begun to experience gender affirming care and have experienced the benefits of it, to feel that this might be suddenly taken away could be absolutely devastating.
And what has scientific research told us are the benefits of gender affirming care?
So that's really a great question. There, one of the most important papers actually was published in 2014. In this study, they had a group of 55 individuals that were initially treated with puberty blockers to put their pre-programmed puberty on pause. That is, this was offered to them before they typically had completed their pre-programmed puberty. And then if they continued to identify as transgender and had significant gender dysphoria or distress about being transgender, and they requested gender-affirming sex hormones to actually undergo a transition, they were then given these medications, either testosterone or estrogen. And then at an average age of about 20 to 21 years of age, in this particular study, this cohort also underwent gender-affirming genital surgeries. And they found that at the end of these three phases of treatment, that when they looked at psychological well-being, there was a significant improvement compared to their pre-treatment values. And that when they looked at their scores on gender dysphoria scales, they found that this was resolved, which is quite significant. And when they looked at quality of life scores, and this is something that has always impressed me, that their quality of life scores were similar or in some cases even superior to age match controls in the Dutch population. So this is really one of the first papers that really gave me the footing on which to feel that providing gender affirming medical care in a similar model as pioneered by the Dutch would be a place to begin. It was really because of that in mind that when we started our program at UCSF, that we felt that we needed to be not only sensitive to or aware of and sensitive to providing compassionate and, well, gender-affirming care, but we felt that it was our responsibility to try to contribute to the gap in knowledge and try to move the field forward.
A really important conversation. Dr. Steven Rosenthal is professor of pediatrics and medical director of UCSF's Child and Adolescent Gender Center. And I'm Kathy Novak. Thanks so much for tuning in to As Prescribed.
As Prescribed, every Thursday at 1:30, right here on the Bay Area's news station, All News 106.9 at AM 740 KCBS, and streaming on the Odyssey app. The proceeding was sponsored by UCSF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.